The reading is taken from Luke 2, verses 1 to 18, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in his manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them.
Many thanks, Sue. So today we're continuing with our series of Unwrapping Christmas. This morning we're going to be looking at Advent joy. Last week we looked at peace. This week we're going to be looking at Advent joy. We are going to cover off on hope over the next week or so. And of course, love is connected to every aspect of the Christmas story, as God's love's played out into the lives of his people through the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed how much joy there is in the build up to the Christmas story that we find in the Bible? It starts for many in Luke's Gospel, where the angels visit Zechariah and Elizabeth, foretelling the birth of John the Baptist. You know, "He will be a joy to you," the angel prophesies. Then the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, telling her that she's going to have God's child. And the first words off his lips, which are usually translated as "greetings, you who are highly favoured," actually in the original Greek, it literally says, "be full of joy." And Mary's response, of course, she cries out, "My soul glorifies," joy there, "glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." When we read that Mary goes to meet her cousin Elizabeth, the unborn baby within Elizabeth leaps for joy. And then when the angels come and meet the shepherds in the field, they say, "Do not be afraid. We bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And in Matthew's Gospel, we read of the three wise men, the Magi, who were overjoyed when they saw the star that marked the place of Jesus's birth. You see, in nearly all of the occasions that the coming of the Messiah is mentioned in the Bible, whether that's some Hebrew prophecy or whether it's in the birth narratives of Jesus's birth in the Gospel, the good tidings are always sung with joy. Rejoice comes out of that word joy. Rejoice. Say again, rejoice. But what is joy? What is joy? How would you describe what joy is for you? Well, let's have a look at this video and see if any of these descriptions mirror what you're thinking about.
What is joy?
Joy is an expression of delight or celebration.
The view from a mountaintop.
seeing my loved ones being happy.
Joy is when you have something that you can be excited about, but that's not necessarily right now.
What is joy?
Probably when something makes you really happy deep inside.
When I go out into a sunny day in London.
It's family time with fireplace.
Finishing school and getting no homework.
Laughter.
I think a combination of peace and happiness.
Summer holidays.
What brings me joy is a wild jazz gig.
Joy is more than just feeling happy.
Happiness that is secure, that can't be taken away.
That full feeling on a Sunday when you've had Sunday lunch.
Rainbow. Lollipop.
Joy means
being able to sing even when things are difficult.
I can be joyful even in the midst of trouble.
Like a knowledge that you're held.
You might not be happy right now, but you can still be joyful right now.
Multicolored.
Definitely brings me joy.
You know, there are some really great descriptions there. Lollipops, school holidays without any homework. Amen to that. You know, when the Bible speaks of joy, it's not speaking about an emotion. It's not a feeling of happiness, which is what many people think. Although joy and happiness, of course, are often linked. They go hand in hand together. But rather joy, as the Bible conveys it, is something that goes deeper. It touches our innermost being. It brings a lasting sense of being fulfilled, of being satisfied and complete. You know, happiness will often fade, but the joy that the Bible speaks of endures. It's a strength from God to face anything. It's that deep understanding that we have been blessed by God in everything. And that goes way beyond just our immediate circumstances, however good or challenging they may be. And it comes from knowing and being rooted beyond any doubt that you are loved by God. You know, it's a love that can't be bought and it can't be taken away from us either. You know, jobs can be taken away from us. Health can be taken away from us. Friends and family can be taken from us. But nothing can take away God's love for us. That's joy. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Or as someone else said in that video that we've just seen, it allows us to sing even when things are difficult. That's joy. That's joy. And perhaps this year, more than any other, it's good to be reminded again that God, through his son Jesus, came to bring us joy. He wasn't born in splendor, but rather was born into violence and confusion, into fear and to the mess of this world. He didn't have a private room or a big palace, but was placed in a simple animal feeding trough. You see, we don't follow a sterile saviour, but we follow one who comes to us in the midst of our troubles, in our busyness, our stress, our loneliness, our sadness and grief. And that's why we can be sure that this Christmas, Jesus understands everything that we're going through. And he doesn't socially distance from us either. He draws near to us in grace and tender love, rekindling hope, repairing wounds, and bringing joy. So how can you find this joy that the Bible speaks of? Well, we're going to look at a few of the characters in the Nativity story to show us and to help us in doing just that. So the first group that I want to look at are the shepherds that Sue read about in our reading this morning. You see, the shepherds show us that joy is here. It's where we are. God meets us where we are, and where he shows up, so it is that joy shows up as well. You know, we don't have to go somewhere to find it. We won't find joy in the shops. We don't have to search for it by working harder. We can't conjure it up by pretending that the challenging or difficult stuff around us isn't happening. And neither is joy a simple process of luck. Some people have joy and others don't. You see, the thing about joy is that it's not created by ourselves. It's not created from within, but it's sent by God to us so that it becomes personal to us. We read that those shepherds were told that they were keeping watch on their flocks at night. Yes, their senses would have been alert to the sights and the sounds and the smells around them. But the last thing that they were suspecting was for God to break into their world through an angel. I'm sure that they would have thought that they would be the last people God would have wanted to meet with. You know, they were the lowest and the outcasts in their society. Yet it's true that these were the first people that God came to announce the birth of the Saviour. Joy is available to each and every one of us. It's not exclusive. It's inclusive. It's for each and every one of us. God sends it to us. He meets us where we are. And the thing is, I wonder if God was going to give us a present this year, a present of his presence, his peace, his love, his hope, and his joy, would we be too busy to know it? Would we hear his still small voice during this season? Would we be looking in all of the other places that we think will make us happy or give us inner joy, rather than seeing that God has already brought it to us in Jesus? You see, the truth is that the good news that the angel spoke of only becomes great joy when it becomes personal. And for the shepherds, of course, well, they hurried off and they went to find Jesus. They saw just where he was born, just as the angel had said, and they returned glorifying and praising God. You see, real joy, deep joy, is sent. It's sent by God, and it's here, and it comes to us. It meets us just where we are. We don't have to go and look elsewhere for it, because we're going to miss the joy that Jesus brings during Christmas. So that's the first thing. We find joy here where we are. But the second thing that I want to look at very briefly this morning is from the wise men. Now we read about the wise men, the Magi, in Matthew 2. And the Magi show us that joy is a journey. Joy is a journey. It's a process that takes time to grow, to develop and deepen. You know, the wise men, they set off from the east with nothing more than a star to guide them. If they came from Babylon, which is where many commentators think that they came from, it was a journey of well over 700 miles that would have taken many, many months. Yet they persevered. And having met with Herod, the star led them to where Jesus, the king and the Messiah, was born. And we read that they were overjoyed. What had started with excitement and having no doubt been tested on the journey ended up with deep, heartfelt joy. It's a journey. It took time. Joy wasn't developed all in one go. And I guess that for so many of us now living in this fast-paced, internet-connected and consumerist world, we don't want or see the need to wait for anything, do we? Rather, we've got used to having everything that we want and having it now. You know, we get instant news from around the world. We get live updates almost on people's lives through social media. I don't know if you've noticed, we even get adverts for instant credit when we're searching on Amazon for those Christmas gifts. When perhaps we can't afford it, but we want to buy it now. And I guess that's why many of us look for instant happiness from things or perhaps people. But when that happiness fades or life doesn't work out quite in the way that we had anticipated, it doesn't mean that we can't experience joy. The psalmist says these words in Psalm 30, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." And even Jesus himself said, "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." You see, joy is a journey. It's there in our fears. It's there in our challenges. It's there in our sadness. But it goes beyond just our circumstances. You know, these things are all part of the journey of life. But the journey of discovering and experiencing joy, even in the midst of troubles and hardship and testing, starts by seeing that Emmanuel, God, is with us. You know, just as those wise men started from afar and their joy increased the closer they got to Jesus, so the same is true for us as well. Advent joy is available to us. It's here, it meets us where we are, but it is a journey as well for many of us. And our joy increases the closer we get to Jesus, the more we understand about who Jesus is and why he came. That expression of God's love develops and grows and deepens joy within us. It's available to each and every one of us through the trials, through the good times of life. Advent joy, it's available for us all, but it's a journey. The last thing that I wanted to say about Advent joy can be found from the character of Mary. And Mary shows us that joy is also a choice. You know, for many of us, we know the story of how the angel Gabriel visits Mary and declares how blessed is she to become the mother of the Saviour. And Mary's question in response, how can this be? Yet right at the start, and often missed, we read that Mary was greatly troubled at his, that is, angel Gabriel's words. Luke 1, verse 29. You see, Mary starts out confused. She's disturbed by what the angel Gabriel says to her. She's even afraid. But having worked through it, having stored things up in her heart, she ends up rejoicing and praising God. "My soul glorifies my Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour," she says. You see, I believe for Mary, there was a simple choice that she faced and that she made: to trust God or to trust herself. And although it must have been scary, Mary is able to rejoice, express joy, because she decides to let go of all of those things that she thought would give her security, the hope of things that she thought would have brought happiness. And instead, she chooses to believe in God. She chooses God and the prophecy that she would be the mother to the Saviour. The thing is, for us, there is that same choice for us to make as well, each and every day, but each and every Advent season as well, as we remember the birth of Jesus. Will you let go of the things that you thought would give you joy? And will you connect with the Jesus who brings everlasting joy? You know, it's scary. And no matter whether we've been a Christian for a little time or a long time, I would say, speaking for myself, that we all struggle. I certainly do at times to truly let go, to shift our faith that we can only be happy in things or others, and to grab hold of Jesus with both hands. You know, if you've ever zip-wired, you would know that despite all the safety gear and all the harnesses that you put on before you go, finally, you do have to step off the platform. And as I say, if you've ever zip-wired, you would know that it's probably one of the most unnatural feelings and things to do. It doesn't make sense. It feels scary that you're trusting in something that you think is there, but you just don't know until you try and test it. And you see, it's only having done that, only having gone down the zip-wire, can you see that your faith is rewarded. And I guess the Christian faith is very much like that as well. It is a faith. It's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge as well. We choose to trust. It's a choice. We choose to trust in the promises of God. We choose to trust in who he is and the gift of salvation that his son Jesus came to give us through his birth, through his ministry, through his death and his resurrection. You know, joy is a choice. We won't find joy in the shops, as I've said. We won't find it in those things that we thought would give us complete and utter happiness, complete satisfaction that we would never want for more. That joy only comes through Jesus. And it's the choice that we have as well, just as Mary found. But we will only know the truth of that choice if we decide to follow Jesus, if we decide to hold on to him at this Christmas time and to put our faith and our trust in him. We only see it through the rearview mirror. And it's scary to let go with both hands. So to wrap up Advent joy, you know, joy, as we've seen, can be found in every part of the Christmas story. A love that couldn't be contained, a joy that couldn't be bottled up. You know, it's the joy of the unexplained and the unexpected, of hopes fulfilled after long years of waiting. It's the joy of arrival and fulfillment just when everything seemed lost, of God coming to us to meet with us when we needed him the most. It's the joy of salvation. You know, this Christmas time, Christ's coming still offers joy to the world. It's a journey, absolutely, just like those wise men found. It's a choice, just like Mary discovered for herself. But joy is still here, even in the toughest of years, which this year is, because Emmanuel, God, is still with us. So let's pray as we allow the Holy Spirit to just speak into our hearts and to speak to us as well. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you in him that we find peace, perfect peace, that we find joy, that we find hope. And Lord, we can experience your love in all of its fullness. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that he came, that he was with us. He dwelt amongst us. He knows us. He knows what we're going through. Thank you that he loved us enough to lay his life down for us, that we might have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, with you, Lord, and with him. And so, Lord, we just pray today that we would experience the fullness of the joy that he came to give. We thank you, Lord, that it is here. It is here. It meets us where we are at. Thank you for the truth that we don't need to go and find it. We won't find it in any of the stores. We won't find it in any other place other than Jesus. Thank you as well, Lord, that as we journey with you, as we draw closer to you, so it is that our joy increases. That we needn't be despondent, but as we persevere, as we journey with you, we will experience more and more the fullness of your joy. And Lord, we thank you that that joy stretches not only in this age, but in the age to come as well. But Lord, I guess for each and every one of us, joy is a choice. It's a choice to experience either the fullness of you in our lives or to hold on to those other things that we think will give us happiness, but actually will leave us still empty when the novelty, when the happiness fades. Lord, help us to make good decisions. Help us to hold on to you with both arms and both hands. Lord, thank you as we do that. We know that you draw close to us. We know that you will put your loving arms around us. Thank you, Lord, that we, each one, can experience your joy this year. Thank you that each one of us is included in your joy. So help us to look to you. Help us to hold on to you. Help us to make those choices. Help us to persevere with you, whatever our personal circumstances are, and to experience the fullness of your love and joy in this Advent time. Amen.